And just bear in mind, I was kind of the stubborn, you know, Mormon believer, you know, in my faith. I had always said, you know, to all of the guys in the band before I became Christian, I'd said, if anybody here ever says anything against the Mormon church, I'm leaving instantly, because I in no way wanted to associate with what I saw as apostates.
And that's Steve Kay. He's the bass player for the group Adams Road Band, and the next member that we'll be hearing from on Out of Mormonism as we present an interview we had with four of the five members of that group, all of whom are former Latter-day Saints. Trust me, you don't want to miss Steve's story, and you'll hear it and more next on Out of Mormonism. And welcome to another Out of Mormonism program with your host Andy Poland of Concerned Christians in Mesa, Arizona. And thanks for joining us today as we hear part three of the Adams Road Band interview. We'll get back into our interview in just a moment, but first I need to mention that we'll have a special announcement at the end of today's program about the first annual National Conference of Concerned Christians coming up in August. We're excited to share all the details with you about that, and we will do so in just about another 20 minutes or so at the end of today's program. But if you can't wait and you're next to a computer, you can learn more about it as you listen today at our website, which is www.concernedchristians.org. Now, I should also mention that these programs are recorded and sometimes repeated, so let me emphasize that this conference will be coming up on August 5th and 6th, 2011 in Mesa, Arizona. But again, more on that just a bit later in the program. Well, on our previous two programs, we heard from Micah and Matt Wilder, two brothers who grew up in a devout LDS family. But Micah, who is the drummer for Adams Road, was challenged by a Christian pastor to start reading and studying the Bible to see if he could find the LDS gospel there. And while Micah's original intent was to disprove that the Bible offered a complete gospel, he took up the challenge and it changed his life. He was eventually kicked off his LDS mission and sent home for declaring that he only needed faith in Jesus for salvation. Later, he was able to share his newfound faith with his brother Matt, and Matt also eventually came to realize that faith in Jesus is all that's needed. Well, Joseph Warren, a guitar player in the band, had also been a missionary in the same mission as Micah, and had actually heard Micah declare publicly that faith in Jesus was all that was needed for salvation, and Micah's testimony had made a big impact on Joseph as well, and he also began studying the Bible at that time. Well, today we'll continue with Matt's story, and we'll hear more from Joseph as well, and then we'll move on to hear from Steve, the band's bass player. So let's roll the tape and jump in again on our conversation with Matt, talking about what it was like to realize that Jesus was all he needed.
Our appreciation for the Word of God was extreme, because we had been without it for so long. We had been deceived that when we were able to throw away all that excess, all that Pharisaical leaven, and just get down to the pure truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, it was profound, and it was something that we were, and still are, adamant and just excited about sharing with people.
Right. Well, it's just fascinating to me that how everybody's lives are changing from just reading the Bible. I mean, it all goes back to that starting to read. So, Micah, you had decided once you had moved back to Utah that you wanted to go to Florida again. Now, what was so attractive about Florida? I know you'd served your mission there. You mentioned that there was a band that had been started. Were they former companions of yours in Florida, or how did that happen?
No, none of those guys were former companions of mine. There are some guys that I had met on my Mormon mission. And Jay was a member that I had met while I was a missionary. But it's just one of those things. I felt like I had a new home. And when everything happened to me as far as leaving the Mormon church, you know, I realized that I no longer had a home in Utah. You know, for me, it was kind of like being in the lion's den. And, you know, when God gave me a new heart and made me a new creation and, you know, allowed me to be baptized in his word, and when I was raised to new life, it was almost like a physical life as well. And I just felt the call to come out to Florida, and I was given the opportunity to be part of the Edgewater Hotel, which is a bed and breakfast in Winter Garden, Florida, and that would be a house for us and allow us to do musical ministry full time. And I just felt that call and knew it was what God wanted me to do in my life. And so I came back and replanted my life here. And Joseph, just kind of going back to his story, I'd like to have him share a little bit about kind of what he dealt with. And I know there's a lot of people out there who, when they have become a Christian and have come to know the Lord, have given up a lot. And, you know, the scripture in Matthew have genuinely taken to heart where they have given up father and mother and brother and sister for the name of Jesus. And, you know, that's very real of what happened in Joseph's life as far as what he had to face when he got home from his mission.
Joseph, would you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I returned home from a mission and I had a girlfriend waiting for me, and she didn't have the same reaction that, you know, Micah's girlfriend did or Matt's. She, you know, we ended up breaking up. because she wanted to get married in the temple, and I had also come to the same conclusion that it wasn't necessary and that Jesus had fulfilled the temple, and she didn't share the same beliefs as me. And so just like the Bible says that, you know, we shouldn't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, and that's exactly what would have happened. So that ended, and then I had to break the news to my family. So I ended up coming back to Florida and then waiting for the right time. And I think I was just really anxious to tell them because I wanted to, you know, get it all out in the open and let them know, you know, my true beliefs and hopefully be able to share the gospel with them. You know, I really had that desire and hope. You know, how naive it was maybe, but that maybe they didn't know what I had found, and maybe they never heard of it. And so I needed to share with them what I had found in the Bible. So when I did, the first reaction was just that they were very angry. They took it very personally, especially my mom, saying that, you know, that I was going against the beliefs that I had always been taught. And they took it as like a personal insult to them and them as parents and stuff. And so, you know, a lot of emotions and stuff. And obviously I loved my family and still do, but I realized that I had to risk my relationship with them, and I had to choose between following Jesus and my relationship with him and my former relationships with my family. Just like how the scriptures have been touched on, that whoever loses father or mother for Christ's sake will receive 100-fold, and that you can't love family members, you know, more than Jesus, otherwise you're not worthy to be his disciple. And so with all those things understood and embraced in my life, I realized that it was going to be a high cost and I had to be willing to pay it. So basically they, you know, they disowned me in a sense immediately, where they were just really upset. And, you know, they told me I was in a bad place being here. I'm in Florida, that Micah must have been a bad influence on me, you know, that I was following the spirit of the devil, and that I should just come home to Utah and sort it out with them. And I just had to tell them and stand up for my beliefs and tell them that I wasn't ashamed of the gospel that I was embracing from the Bible, and that even if it meant that our relationship would suffer from it, that I was willing to do that, because I just told them that I loved Jesus more than anything in my life, more than my own life itself, and that anything I had to choose, it would always be Jesus over everything else. And in all of this, my parents encouraged my siblings not to talk to me because they didn't want, you know, the disease to spread, I guess. But luckily, one of my sisters ignored that and did ask me what had happened, and she ended up coming here to Florida and leaving Mormonism and becoming a Christian as well. And so...
So your sister came out with you?
Yeah, she came out a little after me, after I had come here, and ended up marrying Steve in the band. And so I was really just excited about that, because Steve and I both helped her come to know Jesus through reading the Bible. And then she and I both turned to our families in love and with the Bible to help them, you know, and encourage them. And we're still working, you know, with them. And they've come a long way. You know, at first they were really upset and pretty much severed ties with us. But since then, you know, we've been able to have a lot of good discussions and come to understandings and certain things. Definitely, my relationship is totally severed with them because of this. Right. And I know that was the sacrifice that I had to pay, but I wouldn't, you know, have done it any other way. Just like Paul says, what he used to count as gain in his life, he counts as loss now compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, his Lord. And that's really how I feel, that compared to my relationship with my family, though how important it was at the time, it doesn't even come close to my relationship with Jesus. And that's just something that every Mormon has to be willing to do. Like the Bible says, you have to be willing to renounce everything in your life to follow Jesus. And some people won't have to lose everything, but they have to be willing to. You know, right. I think that's the key.
You have to put it up on the altar, so to speak, and leave it before right. Jesus. And then if Jesus gives it back to you, that's great. But if he takes it away, you know, you have to be willing to let it go.
Right. And that's the thing, and you know, the thing that really helped me through it was just that promise that Jesus said that they will receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life in the next to come. And I knew that I was going to have eternal life because I followed Jesus, but I also knew that God knew my needs, and he knew I would want a family. He knew I needed somebody to love me and something to fill that gap that losing my relationship with my family would leave. And he filled that himself, and also the body of Christ became my family. And, you know, I feel closer to my brothers and sisters in Christ than I do of my own siblings and parents that are unbelievers. And that's just the way that God has changed my heart and filled that gap for me. So,
wow, that's amazing. So I feel bad for Steve. He's the only one that's been left out of the story so far. So Steve, how did this, I mean, I know you left Mormonism as well and you're a Christian. So how did it happen for you? I mean, how did this connection with the band occur?
Well, it's interesting. The story of how I came into that relationship with Christ has a lot of similarities with the other guys in the band, especially when it comes to reading the Bible and coming to that personal relationship with Jesus. But the way I came out of the Mormon church is a little bit different. You know, I also was raised in the Mormon church. I totally believed it with all of my heart. My dad actually passed away when I was 16, and a huge thing that I held on to for comfort in the Mormon church was the whole belief in eternal families. And that was a driving force for me to believe in everything else in the church because I wanted to see my dad again. And it was a really emotional thing for me. And I really felt like I had a true testimony of the church. I went out, served a full 2-year mission. Actually, it's interesting. I served in the same mission that Joseph and Micah served in, but I was kind of the generation before them. So I was never that familiar with them or anything, but I did meet some other friends while I was there on that mission that ended up kind of being common friends that, you know, we all got to know each other through them. And so I finished my mission and went to BYU. And basically what I did after my mission was during the summers, I would go out to Florida and work at the bed and breakfast that Micah mentioned. And during the school year, I would be at BYU. And while I was there, God started kind of planting seeds in my heart. And just bear in mind, I was kind of the stubborn, you know, Mormon believer. You know, in my faith, I had always said, you know, to all of the guys in the band before I became Christian, I had said, if anybody here ever says anything against the Mormon church, I'm leaving instantly, because I in no way wanted to associate with what I saw as apostates.
Right.
You know, so I was very much distanced myself in that way. And so while I was at BYU, I took a couple of courses, one of which was a church history course, which I won't go into detail, but suffice to say, there was a lot of things I learned in that course that I'd never heard before and started me, you know, kind of questioning, saying, well, that's kind of strange. And the other course I took was a New Testament study course. And it's funny, at BYU, your freshman year, you're required to study the entire Book of Mormon. Your sophomore year, you're required to study the Doctrine and Covenants, the entire Doctrine and Covenants, all the revelations that Joseph Smith received. And your junior year, you have the option of either studying the four Gospels in the New Testament or Acts and the Epistles. So there's, right there, you can already see less of an emphasis on the New Testament. They don't require you to study the whole thing while you're there.
Just part of it.
So I decided that I already knew everything that was in the four Gospels. I felt pretty secure that, yeah, I know what Jesus taught, so I'll study the Epistles. So I took that class, and during the course of that, I heard and read several scriptures that didn't seem to line up with Mormon doctrine. One of them was in 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about that it's better for a man not to marry and to focus himself completely on God if he can keep himself from burning with passion. And I, even though my eyes were still closed to the Bible, you know, I saw a problem with that. And I raised my hand in class and asked the teacher, why does the Bible teach this when we so clearly teach that you need to be married for the highest level of exaltation in the celestial kingdom?
Right.
And that, you know, you had to be married for that. And the teacher just kind of, you know, looked at me and this hush fell over the whole class. And he just said, well, it's one of the mysteries of the gospel. Next question. And just moved on.
Really?
And,
didn't even, you know, address it?
No, didn't address it. And, you know, everyone in the class looked at me like I was an alien for asking the question, of course, but just moved right on. But being the good Mormon that I was, I didn't question that. I just said, okay, it's a mystery. And I put it up, you know, on the shelf in my mind and said, I'm going to forget about that and it doesn't matter and I shouldn't worry about it. You know, so I really didn't entertain any doubts that I had about the church. They did come up, but I honestly didn't even remember about most of them until after I finally left. So anyway, one summer after my junior year, I finally had kind of this defining moment where I lost faith in the Mormon church, and it kind of happened all at once. Just everything that I had heard at BYU and other things that people that I trusted and loved had shared with me just kind of all culminated, and I no longer believed in Mormonism. And I had a real crisis because, you know, like with the other guys, Matt and Joseph and Micah, they had kind of this gradual transition where as they were Mormon, as they read the Bible, they started to come to that relationship with Jesus. I, on the other hand, had read the New Testament at BYU, but it was with closed eyes, and I really, you know, hadn't discovered Jesus yet. And I think it's such a miracle that God opened Micah's eyes as he was Mormon, and Joseph and Matt, and did that with them while they were still Mormon. I guess I was too stubborn for him, you know, to allow me to do that. But I really just had this moment where everything was torn away, and I didn't believe in the Bible. And the reason I didn't believe in the Bible was because I didn't believe in anything that Joseph Smith taught. I couldn't trust anything because I didn't believe Mormonism. So the Bible was out, Jesus was out. It was just kind of, what do I trust? And I was basically kind of an agnostic, you know, maybe even atheist for a couple of days. I just didn't trust anything. And luckily, several of the guys at the hotel, you know, approached me and said, hey, man, you know, just give the Bible a chance, read it, and see, you know, see what you find in there. And I was very doubtful. I felt like I've read the New Testament. I know what's in there. I'm not going to see anything that I didn't see before. But after enough prodding and love, they kept pointing me towards it. And as I read, I was just blown away by how much I read there that I had never seen before. You know, I had literally looked at the Bible with my own eyes, read every verse, and had missed these plain and precious things that were there the whole time. And it's not like the Bible is written in code. It's so simple and so pure. And it just came alive to me. And so, like the other guys, you know, as I read the New Testament, that personal relationship with Jesus started forming. And I just, you know, slowly became more and more convicted that I could trust the Bible, that it was God's word. And that when Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away, that I could trust that. Despite everything else that I had believed in that fell apart, that I could trust Jesus, that I could trust God to keep his word secure and intact as long as he wanted to. And that's really where I came to that personal relationship. And I think it was a relief to all the guys in the band to finally, I was kind of the last domino to fall. So they were all on tiptoes around me until that happened. But, you know, ever since then, we've all, you know, been on the same page and moving forward in the ministry and giving everything that we have to God. And as far as my family, I was really afraid to tell them about what I had found. But coincidentally, I called up my mom and explained to her that I didn't believe in the Mormon church. All I needed was Jesus. And she actually expressed relief and said, oh, you know what? I'm so glad you said that because I really didn't believe in it either.
Really?
And that was a big shock to me because she raised me in it, you know, and pushed me towards it. And I asked her, Mom, why didn't you, you know, say anything before now? And she said, well, you know, your dad and I raised you in it. And I just didn't feel like it was right to, you know, pull you away from it after you were so devout in it. And that's how devout I was. She was worried that if she left the church, that I would desert her as my mom and push her away. So, you know, there's this real environment of fear of people who are in the Mormon church. There's so many people who I really believe aren't invested in it, but for whatever reason, whether it's fear of losing a family member or fear of losing social status or anything else, they're not quite ready to leave it. So it's important to know that everyone's at a different stage, but that God is moving all in all, and that, you know, he's working on everyone. So I'm sad to say, unlike me, my family, they do believe in Jesus and Jesus alone, but they don't completely trust the Bible yet. So I'm still working with them on that and praying that they'll come to really trust the Bible as God's word. But I am grateful that they do believe in Jesus. So
I'm fascinated that each one of you found this trust in the Bible and discovered that Mormonism was not true as a result. And so I want to ask this to the band as a whole. Can you describe for me what you see are the major differences between what Mormonism teaches and what the Bible teaches and kind of encapsulate for us?
I would just say the thing that was most influential in my life was the understanding of salvation by grace and not by works, and reading Ephesians 2 and Romans 3, Romans 6, Romans 8, chapters like that, Galatians 2, even Galatians 3, just basically coming to the understanding that, you know, even though in the Old Testament it was works that justified people before God, when Jesus Christ came, you know, he brought us a new and a better covenant, which is grace. And through grace, by our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are saved. And so as a Mormon, there's such an emphasis put on your own personal righteousness and having to work and do things, physical things, in order to be saved, to be exalted in heaven, to live with God after this life. And reading through the New Testament, I realized so strongly that it's not the case, that salvation is a gift. It's a free gift given to us by God in his love through Jesus Christ. And by accepting that gift and having faith in it, that our salvation is secure, and nothing can take that away.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the major things that I realized was that eternal life was something that started in this life. It wasn't something that I was working for in the next life. That as soon as I started believing in Christ, that I received Christ in me, that I had eternal life starting at that moment, mm-hmm. that I did not have to worry about something I would receive in the future, but that God had saved me right now.
Right.
And that really made an impact on me, that it was not what I did for him, but what Christ had done for me in the past mm-hmm. that allowed me to have that eternal life.
Yeah, that it was already done.
It's already done.
You know, the salvation happened on the cross, and all we have to do is accept it, and it already exists for us. And that's the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ, and that's the new life that we are raised with when we're baptized, you know, that resurrection unto a new life, which is eternal life. And yeah, and that's definitely
funny,
amazing feeling.
That you share that, because, you know, when I first started reading the Bible as a child, that was probably the main difference that I saw in the Bible that I was the most resistant to, was the idea that I could be saved right now and that no amount of works was going to contribute towards that, that it was entirely because of the free gift of grace. That was really the hardest pill to swallow, because I had been taught growing up that, you know, Christians were just kind of saying, hey, I have a free pass into heaven and I'm going to live it up and sin all I want and Jesus is still going to save me. And that was my perception of Christians, because that's what, you know, I was taught to see them as. And as I read the New Testament, I quickly realized that there are works taught in the New Testament, but they're not taught as a requirement for salvation. They're taught as a natural result of that gift of salvation, that when we love God, you know, when we have been forgiven and have our salvation sure, if our heart is really filled with Christ and with his Spirit, we're going to do those good works automatically as a fruit.
Well, what I've learned that kind of ties together is in 1 John 4:18, it talks about that perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And what God had taken away from me as a Mormon was the fear of punishment, because I knew that I was going to be with him. And so now my motivation as a Mormon was only out of fear that I tried to keep the commandments, because I wasn't afraid that I wouldn't make it. And now my motivation has changed from a fear motivation to want to keep the commandments to one out of love and gratitude. I do it because I want to, not because I have to. And it's a loving relationship that I have with God. God saved me not because he had to save me, but because he chose to love me, because he chose to do so. He wasn't afraid that he was going to be punished if he didn't save me. He simply did it because he wanted to. And so, therefore, when God saved me, he truly freed me to be able to love him without any strings attached, just because I wanted to. And that fear was gone.
Perfect love casts out fear. Well, that's the voice of our host, Andy Poland, as we wrap up part three of a five-part interview we're presenting on Out of Mormonism with four of the five members of Adams Road Band, Micah and Matt Wilder, Steve Kay, and Joseph Warren. Well, there are still two more programs to go, so let me encourage you to join us for those programs as well. And if you missed a portion of today's program or either of the two previous programs, you can hear them anytime on our website using our podcasts. And that website is www.concernchristians.org. Well, at the top of the program, I mentioned that we have a special announcement to make, and it has to do with our first annual National Conference of Concerned Christians at the Mesa, Arizona Convention Center. We'll be discussing the question, should Christians be concerned about Mormonism? It's going to be an informative and enlightening time featuring one of the most famous ex-Mormons in the world, a great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young named Sandra Tanner. Sandra and her late husband Gerald are the founders of the Utah Lighthouse Ministry that's operated in Salt Lake City just a few blocks from the Mormon Temple since the 1960s. Sandra is considered by many to be one of the world's foremost experts on Mormonism. This two-day conference will be held on August 5th and 6th, 2011, so mark your calendars, tell a friend, and plan on joining us. In addition to Sandra's keynote address, the conference will also feature a panel discussion with former Mormons, a Q&A session, all kinds of resources, a showing of the Bible versus Joseph Smith video, and we've also confirmed the band we've been hearing from all this month. Adams Road Band will be joining us as well. So not only can you hear their testimonies here on the program, you can also hear them live at the conference as well. Early registration is available now through July 1st, and the cost is $15 per person or $25 for married couples. Pastors and spouses are free, but you still need to register, so contact us at 480-833-2LDS for more information. Discounted hotel accommodations are also available, so be sure to ask about that as well when you call. Again, the number is 480-833-2LDS. Of course, if you missed any of that, you can find out more at our website, and that is www.concernedchristians.org. It's going to be a fabulous time together with Sandra Tanner and Adams Road Band at the first annual National Conference of Concerned Christians, August 5th and 6th. Well, thank you for joining us today for Out of Mormonism. As always, we ask for your continued prayers for this ministry as we reach out with the love and forgiveness of the biblical Jesus to Mormons, former Mormons, and their families. Please join us again next time as we continue with our interview with Adams Road Band and hear about how God is using them as a powerful witness for Him after having brought them all out of Mormonism.